Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Brad Hill on the massive He Gets Us campaign.
Our hope is that by using general media and producing ads of a certain quality and type that are attention getting, that we can invite a lot of people to take a fresh look at Jesus.
Brad Hill, next. Maybe you saw the ads during the Super Bowl, or perhaps you've caught them when they appear many times in various media platforms. Their purpose is to simply and creatively introduce people to Jesus. My guest is Brad Hill, spokesperson for the He Gets Us campaign. He's also involved in helping the church solve technology challenges through his work in an organization called Glue. Brad, what is the He Gets Us campaign or movement?
Right. Well, a lot of folks first became aware, as you intimated, during the Super Bowl recently, and we can talk more about that. But He Gets Us actually has been running now for about 11 months. And it is a, first and foremost, a media campaign that seeks to do something very simple but profound. We're hoping that this media can reintroduce everyone in our culture to Jesus. And specifically, what we focus on is what we would frame his brand of love. We would say that Jesus modeled this radical, often very confounding type of love in the way that he talked, the way that he treated others, the way that he set an example. And so whether you consider yourself to be a Jesus follower, or you really are far away from church or anything that feels even religious, our hope is that by using general media and producing ads of a certain quality and type that are attention getting, that we can invite a lot of people to take a fresh look at Jesus.
Can you give us an idea, Brad, of, you mentioned ads, you mentioned the Super Bowl, the spectrum of media that the He Gets Us ads show up in?
In the marketing world, they would call this an omni-channel campaign. Mm. So that simply means that nearly everywhere we can, we're at least exploring, can we put messages about Jesus. So that does include television, certainly. There's been radio. Since we're on radio here, we should mention audio as well, but also online. So YouTube, we've had now right around 500 million views of these messages on YouTube. Social media has been prevalent. And those who may live in places where there's billboards, we've had a lot of outdoor presence as well. So really trying to cover our bases and put our message in the pathway of where people can see it.
Is it aimed largely at the U.S.? But of course, as I say that, I realize that the internet is worldwide.
It is. I would say that we're putting our energy right now on a U.S.-based audience. And for some of our friends that maybe just live right over borders, they're getting some of that signal too. But you're right. I mean, we've had a lot of organic traffic and interest from folks around the world. Someone told me yesterday, by the way, that the Super Bowl outside the U.S., I believe it's Brazil, is the country that views the game the most. Canada and lots of points in Europe, Africa, beyond. So there's a lot of visibility. But I would say right now, the way we fashion the message, the cultural context we think about, is right here in the U.S. And we provide those ads both in English and Spanish to a U.S.-based audience.
Mm. And as you mentioned right at the top, and it's been in the news media a lot, that two of the He Gets Us campaign ads aired during the Super Bowl, Be Childlike and Love Your Enemies. Can you just give us a quick description of what those are and what the content was?
Absolutely. This is such a fun aspect of this project, is we get to explore really different facets of who Jesus was and what example he led, and honestly, how we can relate to him. So we chose the Super Bowl as a moment to launch two brand new ads. You just referenced those, and both of them fit together. They really are part of a single theme. We call it the third way. And what we mean by that is we're exploring how it is that we all interact with one another, especially when we disagree. Mm. I don't know about you, Bill, but you know, in a lot of our pathways, we find no shortage of places to disagree, whether it's politics or race or COVID or who to vote for, school boards, whatever. And you know, one way to handle disagreement is to just fight about it, just argue. And I don't know about you, last time I went on social media, it probably wasn't the finest display of how to handle disagreement.
Right.
Those comment threads can get pretty ugly. Mm-hmm. That's one way. A second way, though, is to pretend there is no disagreement and kind of bury my head in the sand and avoid people and not invite that family member to Thanksgiving because I don't want to get into a debate. But when we look at Jesus, what we see is he was no stranger to disagreement. By the way, in the Gospels, you read plenty of accounts of political disagreement and religious disagreement and lots of other racial tensions. But Jesus always first sought to be for that other person and to look for common ground, to really seek to love the person more than just to be right. And so what you saw in the Super Bowl was two juxtaposed versions of this. If I can put it this way, we sort of tried to put on display the best in children juxtaposed with the worst in adults. And so Jesus, plenty of times, by the way, implored us to be childlike and to live as little children. And we believe a big part of what he meant was look at this innocent, often confounding way that kids just find a way to love someone else. And then as we grow up and become adults, sometimes we change. And so we hold those two messages up side by side, and they're still running. We started them on Super Bowl Sunday, and they're still going. And we've heard just incredible stories of how this has motivated or inspired people to think a little differently about how they relate to someone else.
My guest today is Brad Hill. He is spokesperson for the He Gets Us movement. We're talking about it with him. And how long, Brad, has He Gets Us been going on? What can you tell us about what sparked it to begin as well?
Well, about 2 years ago, Bill, there was a group of honestly very diverse Christ followers, Jesus followers, who were observing where we are as a culture, looking at the church, looking at just kind of our moment. And there was this question that came out of that conversation that really has kind of become a little bit of a linchpin for us. We call it the problem statement. And the way we would phrase this is, how did the world's greatest love story become known as a hate group? And I think we can all probably point to areas in culture or in our communities where we've seen evidence of that, or we've seen where folks' relationship to Jesus, the church, to Christians really exhibits a different pattern than we saw a generation ago. And so from that discussion and that question, we began about a year's worth of research. So this would have been in kind of 2021 to basically just kind of fan out across the country. And we looked at three simple things. What do people think and feel about Christians, the church, and Jesus? And what we found is probably not a surprise, Bill, to you or your listeners. We heard over and over again, these are thousands and thousands of people. Christians have a little bit of a mixed review. Folks have maybe had some tough experiences with a Christian they know, or they've experienced say one thing, do another, that sort of pattern. Same thing with the church. There's a lot of just difficult experience out there, maybe past experiences or reputational concerns folks have. So we've got work to do as Christians. We've got work to do as a church. But what encouraged us was when we got to Jesus, generally speaking, we found a very open, often very positive response, even if folks don't know a lot about Jesus. They said, yeah, he's a good man. He's a good teacher. He set a great example. If the world just lived like Jesus taught, we'd all be better off. These are things we heard. So that caused us to then think about how we might put this in in the form of a media message, and that got us to what we now know as He Gets Us.
What is meant by the phrase, He Gets Us?
Well, I'm glad you asked. So one of the things we heard in the research, we're all carrying things. We all are on journeys, right? We may have relationship challenges, or we may feel like we're a part of society that's kind of marginalized or outcast. And as we explored these topics with people, we heard again and again, Bill, that people would say, you know, I had no idea that Jesus said anything about relationships. It never occurred to me that Jesus experienced loneliness, or that he needed rest, or that sometimes Jesus had fun. Like, these are all kind of parts of him that I've never heard before. And then this was the linchpin. This is like people in the audience we're trying to reach told us how to reach them. They said, if you can connect the experiences that I go through in my daily life back to this person, Jesus, that's really interesting. You have my attention. So quite literally, the concept is Jesus understands so much of our shared experience because he went through it himself. And so a simple way to kind of articulate that is he gets you, he gets me, he gets all of us. Jesus is for everyone. And so that's the tagline.
So the genesis of the He Gets Us campaign or movement was a couple of years ago. When did it sort of explode onto the media scene?
We began running ads in March of 2022. This was during the March Madness tournament. So we're right there again.
Yeah.
We spent much of last year, 2022, experimenting with placing these ads in sporting events. We've had some great partnerships across Major League Baseball, college football and basketball, NASCAR. There's now a He Gets Us car participating in a lot of the races, but also lots of other parts of culture. So you would see He Gets Us on reruns of The Office. You would see it on the Grammys. You would see these messages showing up in Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and lots of other channels as well. So we've learned a lot about what resonates and where the most effective channels are. And our plan right now is that this will continue likely for 2-3 years or longer. So we're hoping to run a marathon here.
So they are airing continually, constantly at this time. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, the Super Bowl was kind of the apex, if you will. There is no media moment bigger. Estimated 113 million folks tuning in for that. But yes, I just this morning heard from someone who saw it during a rerun of Saturday Night Live.
What a great place to have it. And are you aiming largely, I mean, not completely, but for towards somewhat of a younger generation or a younger demographic?
Well, we're excited that we're getting a lot of response from, you know, younger demographics. But quite honestly, we've had a full spectrum of folks. One of my favorite categories of response, actually, that I got over the Super Bowl, I was with a team responding to messages, and I heard from a lot of parents. I actually heard from a lot of parents and grandparents who remarked that, in one example I'm thinking of, she said, "I've been trying to get through to my teenage daughter for years on Jesus, and she's always shut me out. But we watched this commercial, and her response was, hey, that's pretty cool." And it cracked the can open, and so now we're able to talk more openly. Another parent said they sent their son to school with some He Gets Us materials because she wanted him to equip her son to have better conversations at the locker with his friends. So it is reaching a younger demographic, but it's a tool for all of us to use because your friends, your coworkers, people at the gym, anywhere you go, they're seeing these commercials just like you and I are. And so as a Jesus follower, I just always think, like, how can I use this to have better conversations about him?
Well, tell us about that. You mentioned materials that the teenage person took to high school, or perhaps materials, tools. These come from, I would guess, your website, hegetsus.com. But tell us a little bit about some of those tools or materials that people can use in conjunction with these ads.
Yeah, absolutely. One of our top requests, actually, is people asking, quite literally, how can I represent this message myself, or even more pointedly, how can I be involved? One of the ways, when you go to hegetsus.com, there's a fantastic place there where you can actually obtain merchandise. You can get a hat or a shirt, but the little twist here is you can't buy those things with money. There is a payment, but your payment for that shirt, that hat, is actually a promise to practice some act of confounding love. So just Super Bowl night, for example, we had close to 30,000 people commit to doing things like forgiving someone or loving an enemy or welcoming a stranger. And so that, to me, is one of the most pressing impacts of this whole project, is I now look at 30,000 people that are out forgiving, reconciling, maybe surprising people with just a simple act that they would perform. So that's one way, is literally to represent the message. You can get a shirt, for example, that says, "Hate is loud, but Jesus loved louder." That's our most popular message, by the way, at the moment. Also, if anybody listening is a Jesus follower yourself or a fan of what's going on, we've heard a lot, like, I want to know what's next. I want to see the next ad, or I want to get involved. So we do have a text. So anybody with a mobile phone, you can send a text. The number is 70193. So if you send a text to 70193 and you can just use the phrase, he gets us. And if you text that in, what we're going to do is invite you to do things like pray. We're going to invite you to maybe download conversation guides so you can be ready to have conversations and ask good questions. Over time, we'll let you see maybe the new ads that come out. So there's a lot of good stuff. I promise we won't sell you. We won't bombard you with too many texts. But we've got, as we sit here today, Bill, about 40 to 50,000 people who have already kind of joined in this movement and are getting these updates. We're getting stories and we're using those to inspire others. Just some fantastic ways people are using this, like the stories I shared in a high school or out at work or anywhere in between. So we'd invite anybody to text in and just kind of be on the inside track of what's going on with He Gets Us.
So you are trying to measure, if you will, measure results, measure responses, feedback, how these ads are affecting people.
Yeah. And one encouraging note I would add is every week we do a small bit of research around the country, and we're seeing clear evidence now that as people watch an ad, they increase their agreement with statements like Jesus loved everyone. Jesus was a good example. I want to learn more about Jesus. These are double digit percentage increases that we've been seeing. So that tells us that the messages are having an impact, and that even someone who wouldn't have in a million years considered exploring Jesus is now curious. One of the top things people want to do, by the way, is read the Bible. So we offer 5 different Bible reading plans through our partner YouVersion. That's a very popular Bible app. Anyone can go on there and consume those. Super Bowl night, we tripled the number of people subscribe to a Bible reading plan, by the way. So we're very encouraged that there's a hunger to, as I say, go to the source text and learn about Jesus for yourself.
So these are all examples of things that can be found at that hegetsus.com website.
That's right.
Well, Brad, I'd like to ask you a few questions about, I think people listening to this will wonder, okay, as I've either seen these ads or I'm learning about this, there's some interesting and even exciting things going on through the He Gets Us campaign or movement. But tell us, and it's been written about quite a bit, but who is behind it? Who is funding this? What is the budget? Their motives? Whatever you can. I mean, obviously, this is an extremely expensive proposition.
Well, it's an ambitious idea to get a message like this out to the whole country, right? And to do so in major media. And I would just, you know, remind all of us that we believe that there's a high value in getting the message of Jesus' love in the pathway of people who aren't necessarily looking for church, maybe looking for a relationship with Christians, but they're very open to learn more about Jesus. So we need to do that in places where the church maybe doesn't normally put its message. And you're right, that is an investment that's being made. We have just a beautifully diverse set of partners and donors who are making all this possible. And by the way, the list is growing every day. So there are new folks coming in asking how they can support or extend the movement, if you will. But as it stands right now, we believe we have ample funding to see us through all of 2023. And as I said earlier, we hope that this continues for a year or two or more. And so these people represent a variety of denominations, a variety of churches. He Gets Us as not a product of any one church or denomination or a doctrine. It really is as simple as we want to make Jesus the star. We want to focus on what we know about him, and we're particularly focusing on his example, his words, his teaching. To be clear, everyone involved in the project fully believes in Jesus of the Bible. We believe that Jesus was fully man. We believe Jesus was fully God. But you're going to see the ads probably steer much more toward his example as a man,
mm-hmm.
and as a teacher. And the reason for that is because we know that there's a lot more people who are attracted to that starting point than maybe who even believe that Jesus is God. or that believe that the Bible is true. So we've got a little bit of a strategy. And to complete the story, we partner with thousands and thousands of churches and ministries around the country who are then taking these people who maybe see an ad, click on it, visit a website, and eventually may connect into a church. At that point, that church can minister to them and share the fullness of Jesus' story with that individual. So that's the sequencing as it goes from ad on TV to tell me all about Jesus.
And do you have a doctrinal statement, a statement of beliefs? I think people typically wonder that, or at least Christians do.
Yeah, we've aligned with some of your listeners may be familiar with a statement known as the Lausanne Covenant. And this is a great statement. It's fairly ecumenical, but it still focuses on the centrality of Christ, the Trinity, the inerrancy of Scripture. So all these big points are there, but it allows as open a tent as we can offer so that churches across a wide field of denominations and affiliations can still participate.
I did want to ask you a little bit more about those that are funding it. You mentioned believers and so forth. As I understand it, it's a group called the Signatory, and they're part of the Servant Foundation, which is known for funding thousands of ministries, thousands of nonprofits, giving, as I read, billions of dollars to such causes.
That's right. The Signatory is a great organization, and literally they represent donors. So they serve an important role in this project. At the end of the day, though, they are not the funder. They are simply a steward of the funding. Mm-hmm. And as you say, there's a large group of donors sitting sort of behind the Signatory, if you will, who entrust them to be the fiduciary agent. And then the Signatory in turn makes gifts and makes donations to a wide variety of ministries. We're here talking today about He Gets Us as kind of a program that they fund and support. But yes, they've been long time now in the business of funding ministries, just representing donors who care about kingdom work and want to see it advance.
Well, we are talking about the He Gets Us campaign or movement with Brad Hill, who is a spokesperson for it. And Brad, for those of us that have been around for a little while, this seems at least somewhat reminiscent of the campaign from the 1970s called I Found It.
I Found It.
A little bit of connection there, perhaps?
There's been a number of just great works. Yes, there's been a lot of reminiscing, actually, about those days. Some people still have their pins or their buttons from those days.
Bumper stickers.
That's right. So the use of media is certainly not a new idea. We believe it's time. We believe it's needed. And I would add that one of the distinctives with He Gets Us is we've purposefully tried to design this in a way that, yes, it's a very visible media campaign, but there's a very, very strong ground game underneath it. That's where I mentioned earlier, we're actively seeking out churches across the country, great ministries, great evangelism content providers. For example, we recently released a book featuring the writings of Max Lucado. It's called He Gets Us. Mm. That book, by the way, every bit of revenue coming from it is donated back to the campaign. That was Max Lucado's wish. And so we're seeing just a breathtaking, kind of almost a unity play across the church right now, which is very heartening. So beyond just lots of ads and lots of great media, we're seeing this really amplify and accelerate a lot of great ministry work that's happening on the ground.
We haven't used these terms, and you haven't used these terms, but would this fall in the realm of either what's often referred to as evangelism or pre-evangelism?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I would say probably of those two, you would put this a little bit more in that pre-evangelism stage. Mm-hmm. And I say that just because, as I referenced, the He Gets Us messages intentionally start with Jesus, the person, the humanity and the example that he set. The partnership between He Gets Us and all these churches and ministries is that they can practice evangelism. They can share the gospel. They can really reveal not just Jesus, but Jesus Christ, if you will. So we encourage and celebrate and actually look to accelerate their work. But we think there's a lot of value in getting far upstream to that individual that may be open to just a very intriguing, fresh view of Jesus every one of the ads, if you go on YouTube, you can watch all the He Gets Us ads. And every one of them is going to just focus on a little slice of Jesus' life. If you close your eyes and listen to the narrator, you'll recognize immediately stories from Scripture. But if you open your eyes and look at the pictures on the screen, they're very modern. They're very fresh. They're very culturally relevant. And that's on purpose. So we can kind of marry this timeless story with a very modern lens. And our hope in doing that is we reach a new audience.
And speaking of a new audience and a modern lens, I can't recall, I apologize if you've mentioned this, I can't recall if we've talked about this, but to what extent are you using social media?
Yes. Well, we're placing these ads on a lot of the typical social channels you might expect, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, et cetera. And we're also seeing an increasing kind of groundswell, Bill, where folks on those social media channels are sharing. So they may take an ad or a simple, you know, still image and reflect it back to their friends, which is such a great use of those platforms because He Gets Us can only reach certain people. As we all know, there's algorithms and there's systems at play. So we always encourage folks to either share those messages themselves or after the Super Bowl. We had a lot of folks share examples. You mentioned like one of the ads is called Be Childlike. And so people were posting stories of their experience with a child showing confounding love or maybe taking a pledge that they might forgive someone. Or my favorite, which is personal for me, is, hey, next time I get riled up on Twitter and someone's wanting to get into a debate, maybe I want to think twice about how I respond and how can I model this radical love of Jesus, even something as plain as a comment thread on Twitter.
Well, I know I have to let you go here in just a minute, Brad, but I do have to ask you, I do want to ask you about criticisms. Critics, people might be saying, well, what could be to criticize about something like this? But actually, there have been criticisms, both from the secular side or the media, and even from Christians on the right and the left. Can you kind of characterize where those criticisms kind of fall?
Well, you hit it exactly right. It's been a really vigorous conversation, not from any one side, but really folks everywhere are excited, but sometimes have questions or even skepticism. And we saw a lot of this come to a head at the Super Bowl. And what's exciting to us is we weren't there to sell anything. We weren't selling chips or beer or electric vehicles. Actually, our mission for the Super Bowl was to start conversations. And so we were excited when we read many ad industry publications actually rated He Gets Us as the most talked about ad in the Super Bowl, which we were not expecting, but we were thrilled by. And so it's interesting, Bill, when I even go back to Scripture and look at Jesus himself, people weren't always sure what to make of him. There were folks from the religious elites, there were politicians, there were government authorities on all sides that were arguing, debating. And so it feels somewhat familiar ground that as we just seek to do a simple thing, and that's present Jesus to today's culture, that you would expect in a way to stir a lot of that same energy. And so we're in a sense encouraged by it. But I also want to add that for any Jesus follower who sees that or is watching the ads, we believe that there's a job for all of us. And that is like, how can we better reflect that radical love of Jesus? Because as you kind of hinted at, it's hard to argue with the message, love your enemies. It's hard to argue with the message that says, be childlike. Not all of us do those things really well, but my hope is that if we do, then we start to embody like 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have and do so with gentleness and respect. I think if we all kind of live that example ourselves, that's going to be an unavoidable force to critics, to skeptics who look at this and say, whether I like or don't like an ad, the person I'm sitting in front of is treating me with love and respect. And I didn't see that coming. And it makes me curious. So that's our ultimate hope with this project.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Brad Hill, spokesman for the He Gets Us campaign. Go to hegetsus.com. Coming up on tomorrow's program, it's John Stark on trading our need to be noticed for a hidden life with Christ.
We know that our main identity is in Jesus. How much we had lived in ways that had formed us into thinking that the most important thing about us are the things that we can show or display.
That's tomorrow at this same time, right here on His People. Thanks for listening.